move to item 17 then?
Correct.
Mr. Briggs, okay.
Item 17 is for consideration of rescission of waste discharge requirements for the City of Morro Bay regarding their Morro Bay desalination plant in San Luis Obispo County. And the reason for rescinding the requirements would be to cover them under the general permit for discharges with low threat to water quality. And as I mentioned, we printed out late yesterday a sort of informal supplemental sheet which contains the questions that I received from one of you board members, and we provided a very brief response. And actually, I'm not sure I ended up with a copy of the supplemental sheet myself. I don't think I did. But maybe we can share.
If I may, item 17.
I've got it here. So I think one of the reasons for questions is that the general permit indicates that it's not acceptable for discharge to that might have a constituents that exceed some kind of an objective to be diluted by adding water to that discharge. In other words, taking clean water and adding it to the discharge. However, what we're speaking about in this item as far as the dilution, and there's reference to a 10.4 to 1 dilution, initial dilution ratio at the discharge point, which is in the discharge canal from the Morro Bay Power Plant. That is the dilution that happens anytime wastewater is introduced into a receiving water. So that's not the kind of dilution that the general permit is referring to that is not allowed. It's not, they're not adding fresh water in order to meet the standard. So any discharge to a stream, any discharge to the ocean, we typically calculate an initial dilution, whatever it is. So that's not a conflict. One of the things that was definitely not clear in the initial staff report, because it was pretty brief, is it's referring to the effluent concentration, and the 2004 order has a finding that says that the refers to salts concentration that might be above 34,000 milligrams per liter. And as we, as Dr. Peter von Langen has responded in the note here, the data to date indicates that the effluent has not exceeded 34,000 milligrams per liter. And keep in mind that the ambient saltwater concentration of the ocean is about 35,000 milligrams per liter. So in other words, this is slightly less and has remained slightly less than seawater concentration. So the brine concentration should not be an issue. Anyway, I've tried to explain a couple of the answers to the questions, but Peter, why don't you come on up, and because I imagine we have some follow-up questions.
Peter von Langen, Regional Board staff. Here to answer any questions.
So what water are they using for dilution?
They have a combination of seawater wells that are near the Embarcadero, and that is where they take their source water. They also take source water from what are called brackish water wells, which are in reality freshwater wells with just higher nitrate concentration that are near the high school and inland a little bit from the Embarcadero. The dilution is just the simple mixing model from discharging the water into the discharge channel of the power plant. And once the effluent hits this water, the turbulent mixing gives a ratio of mixing of 10.4 to 1. Dye studies that they did also out there showed a mixing of 14 to 1 without any power plant effluent coming out.
So to reiterate, there is no fresh water that's
no
used
potable
for
water.
Dilution?
No. That's
so
correct.
They're using a combination of seawater and brackish water for dilution rates. Is that right?
It's the source water is a brackish water and a more or less fresh brackish water, but they're not diluting it with anything. there's no dilution.
Oh, I see.
That is brought in by adding more fresh water.
All right.
It's just the seawater mixing.
Dr. Hunter?
Peter, one concern that I had is in looking at the conditions of the current permit and rolling over to the general permit. There were some very specific parameters listed that dealt with salt concentration, and I understand now from your information that the city's facility and its operation has maintained a lower salt concentration. So the question is, you know, what would affect maintaining that lower level? And then as outlined in the original permit, the requirement to have 1 million gallons a day provided by the power plant operation was not optional. It was something that needed to be maintained above 34,000 milligrams per liter salt concentration. So I had some questions about how that would be dealt with under the new permit, which, you know, to my perspective, just, you know, barely deals with ocean discharge. It's, the ocean plan is mentioned in the general permit, but really the permit is looking at discharge to freshwater, surface waters. So I'm trying to understand how desalination and our view of desalination is being fit into the general permit. We have a number of small desalination plants that are going to be coming online, and I think it's very important for us to understand the dimensions, not only the scale of these projects, but also an understanding specifically how these operations are integrated with, for example, power plant systems. That's one question that I have, and I know State Water Board is probably in some phase of looking at once-through cooling, including discharge issues for a power plant that operates on seawater. So, these are the questions that I have. So back to my original question, salt concentration, maintaining that below 34,000 milligrams per liter, what does that look like to you?
It should be not an issue to stay below 34 parts per thousand. When the old permit was adopted in 2004, they were taking all their intake water from the beach wells, which have a higher salinity content. Now, in the last few years, they've taken new wells online that are more or less fresh water. So using this freshwater wells will further decrease the salinity before the 34 parts per thousand or 34,000 milligrams per liter threshold that was in the old permit. Mm-hmm. The city has agreed to always stay under 34 parts per thousand discharge limits, which will ensure a rapid mixing of the effluent with the seawater, which is at near that salinity range.
So when they say they're going to guarantee it, it's because the brackish water and seawater draw source water that they're using falls far below 34,000 parts?
Yes, it falls somewhere from just a couple parts per thousand up to maybe 20 parts per thousand or 15 parts per thousand. So then when they make the brine from it, it's at or below seawater concentrations of salinity.
Okay. Thank you. That helps a lot. So when you roll over this into this permit, will all of these conditions that appear in order number 2004-005, will all those conditions just go away then? There's no longer any language to this effect?
There's no language in the draft at this point of enrolling them in the low-threat permit that says they must stay below 34 parts per thousand. But I would ask for legal advice whether we can include that under this low-threat permit, maybe somewhere in the monitoring and reporting program, I believe, we could add that.
Well, you could add it to the monitoring and reporting program, and then if it does become an issue, you could. It probably would be a violation of the low-threat permit to go above 30, the seawater concentration, right?
To go above the receiving water.
Right. So I think there would be a backup that it would be a violation.
Well, see, that's what I'm not clear on. Does the ocean plan and attachment D, which outlines the chemical pollutants of concern, does that address the seawater?
Yes, the attachment D has specific constituents from the ocean plan for seawater. So the general low-threat permit is made also for seawater. There's two columns, one for inland and freshwaters and one for seawater. And we compared the discharge constituents from monitoring data over the last 5 years of the 2004 permit mm-hmm. to what is in that attachment D of the general low threat permit. Okay. And there were no concerns with any of the parameters in there. There were three of the parameters that may be somewhere near the very strict limits that are in attachment D. Mm-hmm. And so we had them do, the city do a reasonable potential analysis to see whether they would ever exceed these limits. And from the reasonable potential analysis, that was done by Dr. Coates, who is here to further elaborate if needed. There was no concerns with these three parameters of selenium, nickel, and organic that was looked at that could be possibly in the effluent. So we looked at these standards that were in attachment D, which are, by the way, much more strict than are in the existing individual permit from 2004.
Okay.
And so we felt like the general low threat permit was very appropriate to enroll this facility to streamline staff resources.
So the last question that I have is, as Ms. McChesney noted, there's probably a parameter for salt concentration for seawater discharge. So is that the case? Is it noted at 35,000 parts milligrams per liter?
There are, I believe that there is for sodium in there, which is a good proxy for the overall salt concentration, because there's a relationship between the sodium and overall salinity.
Okay. Well, I guess with that answer, then I would like to see that condition added to the permit conditions.
Well, it would be in the monitoring reporting program
right.
because it's a general permit.
Right.
But I think what I was getting at was that in order to qualify for a low-threat permit, it has to meet pretty very strict standards, and like Peter said, more strict than the individual permit they have mm-hmm. now, so that if they violated the low-threat permit, it would be a violation that was enforceable, and then you could reevaluate whether it's appropriate to put them back into an individual permit. But based on the description that I understand, they fit within in the terms of the low threat permit and would be protective of water quality.
I guess I just want to make sure that it is very specific as far as salt concentrations, because that is something, from my perspective, is still being considered, and certainly with once through cooling, there's a dimension of work going on there to further define and understand cumulative effects of ongoing discharge. I realize this is a very small scale plant, but I want to be sure that we start to look at the different parameters for desalination specifically and really understand how these permits are being structured so that we have good trigger points.
And we could easily add the salinity monitoring to the permit, too, if it's not already in the general permit.
Well, I would like to see that. If we could add that, I think that would be very important.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions?
I just have one more question. In the old permit that we had in 2004, it said that it was getting, well, Duke, but it's not Duke anymore. It's Dynalgy, I guess. 100 million gallons per day, but that is not true. They're not in operation, so there's no water coming for dilution from them.
They normally run at 1 million gallons a day at least just to keep their operations going. I think the pumps moving as well as the tunnels for the discharge. There is biofouling in there, and if they keep the water circulating through there, it keeps the life alive so that they don't die off and have some issues with
the oxygen. So are they still utilizing that water as dilution?
No, they're not utilizing that water as dilution, although in reality
it does
provide additional
dilution. Okay.
But we didn't look at that as being a factor in the permit. We assumed that there was no water coming from the outfall
of the plant.
Okay, I have a couple of Mr. O'Malley.
Well, I just wanted to follow up. Again, it's a general principle. This was an item that was considered uncontested by staff. And again, I look at this as a resource allocation issue. Anytime we add staff resources to something that's considered a lower threat, it may well take away staff time from things that have a higher priority. And my understanding is that a low threat permit in some ways has some higher standards that if they are not met would trigger some review and opportunity for reconsideration. And I wanted to clarify, is that a correct general understanding, Mr. Briggs, that there's some way that if there is a problem would come back to our attention?
Yeah, the discharger still has to submit the monitoring reports, and we'll look at those for any exceedances. So we would follow up. It's just a question of is it appropriate for handling under a general permit or as an individual permit. And as Dr. Von Langen is pointing out, in this case, the general permit actually contains some more stringent parameters.
And that's staff's recommendation?
Yes, and it's a good idea to add the monitoring for salinity, so we're including that in the recommendation.
Okay, I have two speaker cards. Mr. Wade, did you want to add anything? And Dr. Coates, I have your card too.
Very briefly, a couple of key points I think to hit on, and to cover some of your questions in a little more detail. The power plant operates very intermittently, and so we didn't want to rely on their operation for our operation. Our plant actually operates even more intermittently than theirs does. So this is a very intermittent discharge, minimal in nature. The concern about salt loading comes in if you have a hypersaline discharge, that will tend to be more dense than the surrounding ocean water, and it will sink, and it can form pools or concentrations. So it's important that your discharge remains somewhere near ambient seawater levels or that you have proper dispersion as it goes into the environment. In the case of our discharge, because of modifications we've made to the treatment process, we've added brackish treatment into this desalinization plant. By volume, most of our water source water is... we call it brackish, but in reality, it's potable water that has some nitrate contamination. So our discharge will never exceed ambient seawater levels. I don't think sort of physically it's possible. We'd have to see extreme saltwater intrusion in our basin. We'd have a lot bigger problems before that would become an issue. So I didn't want to kind of beleaguer or beat it up. We're tightening the noose around us a little bit by stepping into the low-threat program. The constituents in general are about an order of magnitude tighter to meet. We're comfortable doing that because for 99% of the things that we're testing for, we've never had even a detection. So I hope that clarifies. If you guys have any questions of either myself or Doug Coates, we'd be happy to answer those. Thank you.
Okay. Any further board comments or questions?
Well, it just brings to mind to me, if they put more wells along the coast and they're using brackish water, then they're creating a cone of depression. And when they create a cone of depression, that invites seawater to come in. And I know they have seawater intrusion along that part of the coast. How is this going to help with the seawater intrusion problems? Is it going to excel the seawater intrusion area? If you want to come up and answer that question, if you can.
Happily. Actually, seawater intrusion in most aquifers is a big problem because you're dealing with a confined aquifer. In the case of Morro Bay, we have, for better or for worse, we have very shallow alluvial aquifers. So we're drawing really from underground streams rather than from an aquifer in the truest sense of the word. In regards to our operation, our brackish wells are fairly far inland. They're probably 1,000 feet or more from the coast. And so we're really drawing water from an underground stream. Under extreme drought conditions, it is possible, though, that stream sort of dries up, and over time you would see salinity levels creep up on us. If that were to happen, though, we would have to stop operating the wells from the standpoint that we just don't have a system that's designed to deal with those high of salinities. So there's sort of a natural protection mechanism into it. Because of the use that we're making of the waters for potable use, there's a secondary standard for salt loading for potable water use. So at some point, you go, if we did experience seawater intrusion, it would be bad enough that we'd actually have to stop operation of the wells. But we've designed the system such that, you know, a little bit of salts isn't going to stop our operation. As far as a cone of depression, our saltwater wells are very close to the coast. They're about 100 feet away from the mean high water tide line. Our brackish wells are much further inland, so we don't think that that cone of depression from the brackish wells actually has any influence on the other set of wells. So they sort of operate independently.
Are your seawater wells, are they horizontal or are they vertical?
They're vertical.
Okay. And how far out do they go?
They're very shallow. They actually sit on the coast. So if you drive down the Embarcadero in Morro Bay, you'll see little concrete boxes. And they're about 100 feet inland. And we call them seawater wells, but in reality, they draw a brackish product. You get some groundwater mixing with seawater in those wells. Their depth is approximately 70 feet because you hit bedrock.
Okay. Any other board questions? Dr. Hunter?
I want to thank Peter for following up with the questions this morning, and I want to thank the City of Morro Bay for responding and coming forward. I just want to make sure that we're all aware that we are considering, you know, the limitations of resources and staffing and so forth. However, desalination is a new dimension of the work that we have to do. And in looking at the integration of resource management across land and marine resources, I just want to be sure that we are all looking at these issues very carefully and defining these issues and leading and guiding staff to understand the kinds of issues and questions that we're going to have as we look at the coming projects that are lining up. I think at one point there were something like 13 desalination projects for Monterey Bay. I don't know where they all sit now, but I'm sure there's still a good lineup. So this is an opportunity for all of us to get more informed on what these processes are. And certainly Morro Bay is a very small-scale product of thinking about using seawater. Very important dimension for local communities. So it's helpful to us to have a chance to talk about these issues. So I want to thank everybody.
Okay. Anything else from the board? All right. We have a recommendation, which I believe staff has added Dr. Hunter's request to add monitoring for salinity into this item. So I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much.